Afternoon all. Last Saturday week, the Australian people elected us to get on with the job, to get back to work, and to get about the task of supporting them to realise their aspirations in life, what they wanted to achieve for themselves, for their families, and for their communities. And since last Saturday night, that has been the task that I've been focused on with the Deputy Prime Minister. And today I'm pleased to outline to you the new ministry following the election last Saturday week. This ministry brings together the experience of those who've been serving in roles and across the government for many years now, some more recently, and it brings together some new members who will bring their skills, their experience, their passion and their energy to the government as we set about the task of realising the aspirations for all Australians. The ministry will be tasked to deliver on the commitments we set out in the election, to deliver 1.25 million new jobs over the next 5 years, to maintain those budget surpluses, to deliver that first surplus that we announced in this year's budget, and to keep it there and pay down the debt, to deliver the tax relief for families and for small businesses all around the country, to guarantee the funding for services that Australians rely on in the essential areas of hospitals and roads and schools, affordable medicines, and to deliver those services, making them accessible for all Australians. And of course, keep Australians safe, to keep our borders secure, and to keep Australians safe, including in the online world. The Ministry maintains that I announced today the record representation of women in Cabinet for an Australian government, with 7 members, female members of our Cabinet. And it will include the first ever female minister for agriculture, Australia's first ever agriculture minister, who's a woman. Maurice Payne will add to her role and responsibilities the role of Minister for Women. Australia will also have the first Indigenous cabinet minister in Ken Wyatt, who will take on the role of Minister for Indigenous Australians. And I also note that Ken will be supported by a new National Indigenous Australians Agency that will be set up within the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet portfolio, and that will provide a direct report to Ken in this very important area of responsibility. A key focus for all of my team will be on lifting and improving service delivery for all Australians, the services that Australians rely on. I talked about it when I brought together the heads of the public service. I want to see some congestion busting, not on our roads, across our major cities. I want to see some congestion busting when it comes to bureaucratic bottlenecks and regulatory bottlenecks, so Australians can get access to those services in a more timely and efficient way for them. Making better use of technology and better integrating service delivery across different portfolios. The goal is simply to make it easier to deal with the services that Australians rely on. And so today we'll also be establishing a new organisation called Services Australia, built on the Human Services portfolio. Services Australia will pick up its lead from a similar organisation established by the New South Wales government called Services New South Wales. This, is, I think, has been a very important reform in New South Wales and made dealing with government much easier. And that's what we want government to be for Australians. We just want it to be much easier. There are services there they rely on, and we want them to be able to access those services as easily as they can and in as informed a way as they possibly can. But it's also about driving the better use of information technology and apps that can assist Australians better access the services they need. So in that portfolio, I'll be appointing Stuart Robert as the Minister for Government Services in Cabinet. And I'll also be appointing Stuart to the very important role of an issue that's very dear to my heart, and that's the National Disability Insurance Scheme. He will be the Minister for the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and he'll be responsible, together with myself, of course, to ensure that we reach that goal that we set of 500,000 Australians who will be able to access the services of the National Disability Insurance Scheme over the next 5 years. It is a very big social reform. It was begun by our predecessors and it has been continued by our government, fully funded under our government, and the work of ensuring that it best meets the needs of all Australians who live with a disability and their families is critically important. It's got to be made easier. It's a very targeted program. Every single Australian with a disability needs a bespoke program. Their challenges are different and they have to be recognised as different. And you can't take a cookie cutter approach to this. You've got to zero it in on the needs of each and every individual family. And we need to have a system that can address that. Moving more broadly, the economic team, of course, will be led by Josh Frydenberg as Treasurer, and together with Matthias Cormann as Minister for Finance. Within the Minister for Finance responsibilities, that will include what were formerly the responsibilities of the Special Minister of State. They will be taken within Minister Cormann's portfolio responsibilities, and it'll be their job to continue to keep the budget in surplus and to ensure that we deliver on those tax cuts for families and small businesses. They'll be supported by Michaela Cash in a portfolio of Minister for Employment, Skills, Small and Family Businesses. Michaela's job is to work with the rest of the team to deliver those 1.25 million new jobs right around the country over the next 5 years. The Employment Services portfolio, which was previously held by Kelly O'Dwyer, the Employment Services function, that will go into that new Department of Employment Services, Skills, Small and Family Business. Michaela Cash will be supported by Steve Irons as Assistant Minister for Vocational Education, Training and Apprenticeships. Steve is an electrician. Steve knows what it's like to get a trade and help people get trade qualifications, and he understands the needs of small businesses who want to take people on with trades as apprentices. And I'm looking forward to the great work Steve will be able to do in that portfolio. Christian Porter, of course, will be Attorney General and Manager of Government Business in the House, but he'll also take on the responsibility of Minister for Industrial Relations. That will include creating fairer workplaces and enforcing the rule of law in industrial relations, in particular through the Australian Building and Construction Commission. The Deputy Prime Minister, of course, will continue in his role, and that is in delivering our $100 billion National Infrastructure Program, which is central to our economic plan. This will include the National Water Grid, for which he will have direct responsibility. He will be supported by Alan Tudge, who comes into Cabinet, and he will continue his work in the portfolio he was serving in previously, which as Minister for Population and Cities and Urban Infrastructure. The economic team will be supported also by Michael Suka, who comes into the Ministry as Assistant Treasurer, and Minister for Housing. And he will have particular responsibility for the First Home Loan Deposit Scheme, which we announced and committed to during the election, as well as more affordable housing. And Jane Hume will come into the Assistant Ministry ranks as Assistant Minister for Superannuation, Financial Services and FinTech, Financial Technology. Karen Andrews will continue as Minister for Industry, Science and Technology, working closely with industry stakeholders to create more and better paid jobs and harnessing the great opportunities that are there in science and technology for our industries. And Matt Canavan will continue in the role of Resources and Northern Australia. Paul Fletcher will take on the job of Minister for Communications, Cyber Safety and the Arts. And I will come to the roles that were formerly performed by Mitch Fifield and what we have in plan for Mitch in the months ahead. Returning to the rest of the Ministry, in Social Policy, Anne Rustin will be elevated to Cabinet. Anne will take on the job of Minister for Family and Social Services, and she will also perform the role of Manager of Government Business in the Senate. And she will be supported by Luke Howarth, who comes into the Assistant Ministry as Assistant Minister for Community Housing, Homelessness and Community Services. Greg Hunt will lead the charge on our plan to combat youth suicide and youth mental health in this country. He will do that, of course, as Minister for Health, which he has done an outstanding job. Greg will pull together an implementation forum of the nation's experts in coming months, dealing with both youth and Indigenous mental health issues and working through our plan to deliver that on the ground. Greg will also take on the role of Minister assisting myself for the public service and for Cabinet. Greg will play a key role in assisting us with our response to the Thodey Review, as well as playing a broader strategic role in policy development across the government. Dan Tehan will continue his role as Minister for Education and it's his job to deliver those programs which we have already fully funded and conclude those arrangements with the outstanding states and working closely with them to that end. Richard Colbeck will take on the job in the Ministry of Minister for Aged Care and Senior Australians and as Minister for Youth and Sport. And it will be his job to ensure there is a strong voice for issues facing both younger and older Australians across the country, and particularly when we're dealing with the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety as that continues in the years ahead. In the area of national security and defence, Minister Payne will continue as Minister for Foreign Affairs, I should say, and as I said, she's taking on the role of Minister for Women. Former Army Services Reserves Brigadier Linda Reynolds takes on the role of Minister of Defence, which I flagged before the election. Peter Dutton continues in his role as Minister for Home Affairs, and Simon Birmingham in his role as Minister for Trade, Tourism and Investment. You will all know our passion for the Pacific Step Up program. This is a very important program in Australia's national interest, and I'm elevating the role of the Pacific and International Development portfolio to ministry level, and it will be taken on by Alex Hawke, who will become the Minister for International Development and the Pacific and Assistant Defence Minister. That will ensure we're able to integrate everything from our role in our international development program, defence initiatives throughout the Pacific, to ensure that we're working closely with our Pacific family, our whānau, our vavale, as we call it, across the region. And I thank Alex for taking on that role. That will be a very significant role for Australia's future, and I think he has exactly the skills to ensure we're able to deliver. In the environment, Susan Lee will take on the role as Minister for Environment, with a focus on practical and local environmental outcomes, as well as waste reduction and recycling, and she will be assisted by Trevor Evans, who will have a particular focus on waste reduction and local environmental management. Angus Taylor will continue as Minister for Energy, and his portfolio will take on the further role of emissions reduction, responsibility in particular for meeting our 2030 emissions targets and the Climate Solutions Fund. Warren Ench will also be appointed in the only of our special envoys. Warren will take on the role of a special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef. Warren has a passion across a whole range of issues in relation to the reef, as you well know, as the member for Leichhardt returned once again, and he has a particular passion about oceans policy and the impact of plastics on our oceans, and I've discussed Warren working in with our minister and assistant minister in both of those respects. I should mention that Melissa Price, who will be taking on the role of a Defence Industry Minister, Minister for Defence Industry, forming part of that defence team, and she'll also be joined in the defence team by Darren Chester, who continues in the role of Veterans Affairs and Defence Personnel. Now, after consulting with the Minister for Foreign Affairs, I intend to recommend to the Governor-General that Arthur Sinodinos be appointed Australia's next Ambassador to the United States of America, and I intend to recommend to the Governor-General that Mitch Fifield be appointed our next Ambassador to the United Nations. They will both be exceptional representatives of Australia, and our country's interests abroad will be well served in those roles. Both senators have made enormous contributions in their public service, and both were given the opportunity to continue to serve in the Cabinet and the Ministry, and have chosen to take on these new and very exciting roles. So our government has a broad agenda to deliver. We're a government that's back at work. The Ministry will be sworn in on Wednesday. The party room comes together on Tuesday. The Cabinet will meet on Wednesday, and we're back at work and we're implementing our agenda to keep our economy strong, to guarantee the essentials Australians rely on, to keep Australians safe and to keep Australians together. And I look forward to working with my new team. Chris.
What about
agriculture and a woman, you didn't mention who that was going to be.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bridget McKenzie. Bridget McKenzie is the Minister for Agriculture. I'm sorry.
Prime Minister, on your agenda, one of the going ahead, Josh Frydenberg told us on Friday that he's going to have a review into the retirement income system, pensions, superannuation, the whole interaction of tax and so forth. Would franking credits be a part of that review?
I'll come back to that because Michelle's asking me about the Nationals. I mean, the list has been circulated. I didn't go through every... well, it should be. It should be distributed as we speak. Just to go over, the other NATS positions in the Ministry is Mark Coulton, and he takes on the role of Mark Tilton takes on the role of local government and decentralisation and regional services, and he continues in the role of Assistant Trade and Investment. Michelle Landry continues in her role in Assistant Minister for Children and Families, and Andrew G continues in his role. So many of the Nationals are continuing in their former roles. David Littleproud is taking on the role of Water Resources, together with Natural Disaster and Emergency Management. He is also taking on the role of Rural Finance, and he's continuing responsibilities on drought. As we've moved around the country, what is very clear is the impact of natural disasters and emergencies are very connected in a lot of our rural and regional communities. And David has done an extraordinary job in the work we've done around drought and assisting me, particularly where I've been most recently in North Queensland, with the Livestock Recovery Agency that's been established there. And so David has shown a real talent, I think, for getting in and solving problems in the ground as we're trying to seek to have recovery and assistance put in place in these areas of Australia. And David, I think, will do an outstanding job in each of those capacities, and he's doing that as a Cabinet Minister.
Prime Minister,
I'll go back to Phil, asked a question.
Just on the inquiry into the retirement system, would that be so broad-ranging, would it encompass franking credits, or would it be immune from that examination?
Well, I'm not making any announcements on that today, but our response to the Productivity Commission will be handled by the Treasurer with support by the Assistant Minister for Superannuation.
Why was Melissa Price moved from the Environment Portfolio?
Well, Melissa and I discussed her role. She asked to be given a new challenge, and I was pleased to give her one.
So she's doing a good job in Environment?
No, she's going to do a great job as the Defence Industry.
Is that in Cabinet, Defence Industry?
No.
Prime Minister, Yiannidis and the US posting. Donald Trump has asked his Attorney General to investigate Australia's role in sparking the 2016 FBI investigation into links between the campaign and Russia. Can you tell us, was Australia part of any conspiracy to launch that investigation?
I don't plan to make any comments on ongoing investigations.
Can you outline the sort of timetable from here? When will the swearing-in happen? When will Parliament be recalled?
Well, I said earlier that the Ministry will be sworn in on Wednesday. We are still waiting advice from the AEC in terms of when a return of writs will be provided, and once I have that advice, at present they're saying that's the 28th of June, but if there's a possibility of that occurring earlier, then that presents different opportunities for when we might be able to recall Parliament.
Just on the Senate vacancy for Senator Sinodinos.
Well, there are no Senate vacancies at the moment.
When he leaves?
Well,
it's
subject. I've got to be very clear about this process. We would make a recommendation at an appropriate time in the future to the Governor General about who would serve in these two roles. And so, as a result, when that occurs at that time, then that is the matter that any possible Senate vacancies would be considered.
Jim Molan to take that spot if it does open up.
In the event that there would be a selection in New South Wales or Victoria, they would be matters for the New South Wales and Victorian divisions.
Just on Angus Taylor's role, Josh Frydenberg, of course, in the Turnbull government had energy and the environment, so he was responsible for emissions reduction as well. They were then separated under you. It seems they've kind of been brought back together. Is that the fair way of
Well, if you look closely at the Climate Solutions Fund and the other initiatives that are related to actually meeting our emissions reductions targets. I mean, it's Snowy 2.0, it's the Mariner Link, it's the Battery of the Nation project. These projects fall very much into the role of energy infrastructure that Angus is closely associated with. And so it made, I think, a lot of sense to be able to bring that under the same banner. And Angus has a lot of experience in dealing with these issues, and he has a lot of technical knowledge on these issues, and I think that will ensure that those matters are well integrated.
Is there unfinished business, though, when it comes to getting emissions down in the energy sector?
No, we set out our plan completely before the election as to how we meet our 2030 targets. And in fact, we were the only party at the election that did. I mean, we still don't know what the cost of Labor's proposal was, and the election's over. Maybe the next leadership will tell us what the targets are. I don't know. Maybe they'll tell us how they're going to meet the 45% emissions reduction target. I don't even know if it's still Labor policy. But they don't have any leaders at the moment, so we wouldn't know.
Yeah, you've made it clear that your Pacific Step Up is an important part of your plan.
I just can't quite hear you, Chris.
Oh, sorry. On your Pacific Step Up, we've seen the PNG's Prime Minister's gone today. Can we get your response to that? What's your advice on that?
Well, first of all, can I just say thank you to Peter O'Neill. I have worked with Peter in three different portfolios. I worked with him as a Minister for Immigration, I worked with him as a Treasurer, and I worked with him as a Prime Minister. Peter has been a passionate servant of his country, and I think that was best on show when he led and chaired the APEC meeting in Papua New Guinea, which I attended last year. That was a moment of great pride for Papua New Guineans, and I was so proud of them and so proud of the way Peter conducted himself and showed great, the Maori would say mana, but, and I think that is a, while it's not a Melanesian word, it's one that I think would, could be well ascribed to him. Now, the processes of a succession there are still in train, and I won't make any formal comment on who may now take over that role. We'll just await how Peter O'Neill proceeds. But PNG is our closest friend and neighbour. There is just a small body of water that is between us and Papua New Guinea. And we have a special relationship with Papua New Guinea and always will. And I will look forward to working with the new Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea in the same way I've enjoyed such a strong and friendship and relationship with Peter O'Neill. My simple message to Peter O'Neill, and I look forward to passing this on soon personally, is thank you. Thank you on behalf of Australia for your friendship.
PM, on the economy, do you think the bottom's been reached in the property market?
Well, I'll let others speculate on property. I think, without going back into the issues of the election, what I do know is had Labor's very negative property and housing taxes come into being, then there was only way that people's house values were going to go. Now, we will continue with our sound economic management, and I'll leave it to others to make commentary on the movements in property markets.
Did he choose to not sit around the cabinet table and be ambassador to the UN instead?
Yes, he did. It was Mitch's call about what he wanted to do. I would have been very happy for Mitch to continue to serve in communications and the arts. I think Mitch has done an outstanding job in what has been a very difficult task in the NBN. And Paul Fletcher comes to this role no stranger to these issues. He has a deep experience when it comes to ICT in this country. And I think he'll be a great successor to Mitch, and he'll do an outstanding job. But I thank Mitch for the great job has done.
Did Michael McCormack choose the people to put into the portfolios the NATs were allocated?
Yes, he obviously consults me as Prime Minister.
He actually chose.
This is the way our relationship works, and he makes those assessments. And
can I just clarify the tax cuts? So if the government won't split the bill, and it looks like Parliament's not going to come back until after July 1, is there any concern that the offsets, the expanded offsets for low to middle income earners are not going to get through? Can you just
clarify? Putting our entire tax plan to the Parliament. We just put it to the people of Australia. It's a plan for aspirational Australians. It's a plan for tax relief not just now but into the future. If the Labor Party has learnt nothing from this election, if their takeout of this election is that they should be denying Australians their aspirations, well, I think that's a sad indictment on the Labor Party. And it says that they weren't listening to the quiet Australians last Saturday when they spoke up. And they seem to be not listening. And I would say that they should endorse these measures because they're good measures. They'll be good measures for the Australian economy. They'll be good measures for jobs. And there'll be good measures for confidence in the Australian economy as we face what are some difficult headwinds into the years ahead. This is an important program, tax relief, out over the medium term. And it was put to the Australian people as a package, so it'll be put to the Australian Parliament as a package. And I would urge all the members of the Parliament to listen to the Australian people. I think their view and their voice was very clear. Based on what they've asked me to do, they've asked me to get back to work and get on with the job, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you very much.